this house, there's some holes in 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 this house,
there's some holes. 7 days a week, that wet-ass pussy got my pull-out game weak. Ooh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Only for the sexiest of humans, ladies and gents. If you ain't sexy, gotta get the hell up out of here. It's the 1111 boys. My name is Billy Ray Valentine. What is going on? It's the Wednesday Locker Room. I'm here with D'Andrew Bello, the God of Thunder. I heard through the grapevine that there were some hoes in this house. Tell me what's up.
There are most definitely hoes in this house, Billy Ray, but more importantly, finally, the bell has come back to the Wednesday Locker Room, Hameen Media Group, the PW Hustle, YouTube, etc., etc. And yes, fantastic. As our favorite hoe, Colin Weissong and my kayfabe best friend, hi Colin, pointed out, I did in fact lend some Asgardian lightning to The Rock, my Thunder buddy, for his entrance this week, and that epic, just magnificent panoramic view of The Rock and lightning and all the glory that be surrounding the two.
And much like The Rock, you managed to make the entire introduction about yourself.
Goddamn right, Billy Ray.
You know, much like The Rock, everything is about The Rock. And I am so disappointed in the IWC, YWC. I am so, and I shouldn't be. I should know by now, be it that I am Billy Ray Diamonds, I should know how these things play out. But unfortunately, I place my trust and my better judgment, you know, on the fact that the IWC, YWC will be able to see past through this shit because you're supposed to be smart marks. But no, they don't. They follow the light like a cat follows one of those light pointer things. You know, that's what they do. They just go right after it. The attention span of a goldfish, completely forgetting what happened before and totally loving, you know, the final boss and A-Track losing his mind on this channel about it. Holy crap. But he's not the only one. So I'm so disappointed. But anyway, we can get to that throughout the course of this very illustrious, very sexy episode of WLR. Please introduce the main event of the evening, sir.
All right. If my goddamn tablet will shut the hell up, it is time for our main event of the evening. He comes to us from the island of Road, by way of the land of the Sun Devil, soon to be taking the tunnels under the Denver airport to the Denver airport to fly back to the land of Road. The island of Road? It is the island of Road.
Yes.
He stands at 6 feet, 6.6 inches tall, weighing in at an unbelievably svelte 666 pounds. All biceps.
Damn. Boom.
He is the master of the massive mammaries, the connoisseur of the colossal kachungas, and the hunker of huge hooters.
Yeah, that's still Triple H.
He's sexy. No Diddy. He's stranglery, strangler, Steve Kane.
Boom. Thanks, Bells. Thanks. Welcome back to the Wednesday Locker Room, everybody.
Yes.
Here, just a couple of days till Easter. I have about 500 pounds of Easter candy in my house, and I'm trying to be good. I don't know why I got so much, because I'm a glutton, that's why, I guess. But I'm trying to be good, and I'm doing the fasting.
Robin's eggs?
Yes, I do have robin's eggs, in fact. Not many left, but there are some still in the house. It's the Reese's peanut butter eggs that got me
going crazy.
Oh my God. They must put crack cocaine in those motherfuckers because you cannot just eat one of them.
Hell
and I'm looking at them right now. I can see them about 15 feet over there. And they're just staring a hole through my head saying, eat me, eat me. I'm trying so hard, guys. I'm trying so hard. Like during the week, I've been fasting and fasting and fasting. And on the weekends, they kind of go crazy and have whatever I want. But I'm trying to not get to a point where I'm like just fasting just so I can get through the weekend and like it all like evens out. You know what I mean? Like I started off really strong and did really well and lost a ton of weight. And then, you know, Christmas came around and it was kind of hard to get back in the swing of things. And here we are now with Easter and I'm like trying to be good. But they're just sitting there just mocking me.
Man, those are my favorite things all Easter, man. Yeah. I love.
Did I mention I got Cadbury eggs over there?
That's what I was gonna tell you. I know you're a fan just like me. Those are my things, man. You know, this Sunday, I'm gonna do something that I shouldn't do, and I'm gonna eat like 10 of them.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm a little under the weather, guys. Just a heads up. My nose, my throat, everything's acting up. So just giving you a heads up, it's still the sexiest podcast in the game, without a doubt. That was this guy, I think. Where is he? This guy in the chat. Sexiest podcast in the game right now. That's the sexiest listener in the game right now. This guy, he gets it. He understands. Everybody's sexy, of course. All of you get it. All of you understand because you're here. All right. Let's talk about this. What do you want to talk about? Now, we've been extra critical.
We've been
incredibly critical of And like CM Punk said today, listen, I'm going to go ahead and say I am the founder of Cody Nation, right? And Hooper right next to me. But all I want to do is see Cody win the title. That's all I've ever wanted. Want him to win the title at WrestleMania.
It's not asking a lot.
It's not. Now you're asking
for an at WrestleMania. You already overextended yourself. I just wanted to see Cody win the title. I just wanted to see Cody win it at WrestleMania like that. And that's where you fuckers got greedy.
He should have won it at 39 and we wouldn't be in this mess if they would have done it right the freaking first time. Okay? Now we're at 40. The Rock has introduced himself and completely messed everything up, but nobody seems to give a shit anymore. Right? Which is fine. That's good, right? I'm glad everybody's being entertained, but everybody wants to talk about how they can't get worked or they ridicule people for getting worked, but everybody's getting worked right now and loving it, right? Regardless, Cody needs to stop that shit. He needs to get a new freaking line. Like, I mean, it's just so corny. Like, is that the best you can do, bro?
It
you
is.
You know, I mean, there's got to be something else, right, in it's your arsenal, right? There's got to be something else. Dad, what do you want? Nobody even reacts to it.
It's horrible.
What do you want to talk? He's the most over guy on the roster, and nobody reacts to it. Nobody says anything. What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. He's the most over guy. Punk got a pretty good pop this week on Raw.
Punk was in Chicago.
Yes, they were in Chicago, but he gets that pop regardless.
And I do think that that's a really good point, Striz. And Punk, you know, he manages to win me over every so often.
Yeah,
I mean, he is incredibly talented. What else can I freaking say about that guy? But I will say this, it proves something. Mm-hmm. Not for The Rock. The Rock is one of the most famous men on the planet. He comes out, he's going to get a pop. You guys need to realize this, especially when he's unannounced, right? They didn't say he was going to be at Raw. He came out, it was a surprise, and those people popped because, you know, it's The Rock, obviously. But putting him aside, Cody Rhodes got a pretty solid reception. Seth Rollins got a pretty nice reception while he was in the ring with CM Punk. And I thought that was really good. And I thought he looked strong in his promo. And Drew McIntyre did great. Oh my God. Like Drew McIntyre might be my next to ex-con Dirty Dom, which is my favorite of all time. Drew McIntyre might be my favorite WWE superstar right now, straight up.
Like, isn't that crazy? The difference between now and 2.5, 3 months ago when you were like, fuck this guy.
I'm like, he just lost to Gunther. He can't do it. Oh my God. He completely flipped that switch and he is totally different. You know, and I don't think anybody can dispute that. The guy is on another level right now. And what I love most about that promo, we'll play some of it and talk about it. The CM Punk promo. CM Punk came out, just gloves were full off. And Triple H was like, hey, go out. And this is why you got to commend Triple H, man, or whomever was running that segment. You know, just let them go out there and say, what's up? Here's some points. Make sure you hit this. Get out there. That's what was done. There was nothing written. There was nothing predetermined. No, nothing. CM Punk was off top the entire time. And Drew McIntyre hung with him. It was incredible. In my opinion, Drew McIntyre hung with him. You guys can tell me if you felt differently. But Seth Rollins comes out into the ring. And he said, you know, he did the whole Raw is Rollins thing. And people backed him in front of CM Punk. He did this in front of CM Punk's face. I thought it took some balls to go out there and do that in Chicago in front of CM Punk, because I could have failed miserably, you know, but it worked. And I thought it was really cool of the Chicago fan. You know, the fans in Chicago are there's only but so many, right? There's Philadelphia, there's New York, there's Chicago, right? And then there's Puerto Rico. It's its own beast, right? So the crowd's over in the UK. But damn it, man, it was a fantastic Monday Night Raw that I didn't want to leave my couch up until I saw, what's his name? Johnny Gargano. When I saw him, I was like, okay, it's time to change the channel. But before that, you know, it was fantastic. Bells, what are you thinking, man? Give me something about this promo. Give me something about CM Punk. What did you think about all this?
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. I saw you guys texting about it. I wasn't watching, so I went, you know, found it on the YouTubes after the fact. But yeah, I mean, my God, the segment was just great from beginning to end. I feel like everybody kind of looked good coming out of it, even though I still feel like Seth just gets buried amongst anybody that they throw him with, right? Like, we've been complaining about, like, Seth looks small amongst Cody, Rock, and Roman. Seth looks fucking small in all of this too. Yeah, all the stuff you said, and like, yeah, he was getting the pop, but is anybody talking about the Seth Rollins portion of this promo? Like, really today? I think everybody's talking about the Punk and the Drew exchange really more than anything. And what a masterful exchange that was. I do think a lot of this was off the top, and I don't quite think we can say Drew is at that Punk level yet, only because he kind of walked into a trap there, right? Like he opens up, he's running his mouth, he's going off of all of the shtick that he's got built up off of his resume, and he lets the words "the chosen one" fall out of his mouth, and CM Punk picked that shit back up and threw it back at him faster than you can, you know, say "the chosen one." Who chose you? Say his name, he says, and immediately you see Drew's face. He's fucked.
He smiled.
He knows Punk.
He couldn't say the name, and he kept having to correct Punk and tell him, there goes Striz, he's back. He kept having to correct Punk and tell him, hey, yo, PG, man. It's PG, Punk. Dial it back.
Well, Punk doesn't operate on the same level as everybody else, right? He's not quite at the Punk, at the Rock level, but he's somewhere in between the Rock and the rest of these guys.
I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, I think, I mean, not only on the mic, but as far as just like how he's getting treated, really, as far as within the company. Like, he can go out there and do what he did, whereas a lot of other guys, like Drew McIntyre, wouldn't in his wildest dreams have gone down that road in like the impromptu battle, so much so he wouldn't say the name and realize Punk had totally gotten him, and there was like no way to come back from it at that point. They shifted away from it, but
no way he could say that name,
right?
No,
and that was the trap he walked into, and Punk nabbed him like immediately on it. So
that doesn't mean he didn't hold his own, Bells. I mean, were you watching it?
Yeah, I'm not saying he held his own, but I won't say he's necessarily at Punk's level, although he is approaching it, certainly. Like, let's make that clear. He is vastly improved on the microphone and with all of this Punk thing. He needs to be about more than just hating Punk right now, right? Like, he's in a feud with Seth Rollins. He's out there wearing two CM Punk t-shirts. You know, it seemed a little bit odd. But then again, this whole main event scene is askew, right? Like, you've got Drew cutting promos on Punk, who isn't going to be his opponent until like SummerSlam, when he's got Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. You got The Rock beating up Cody Rhodes, and they're probably not going to wrestle until like fucking, I don't know, 6 months from now in Saudi Arabia or some fucking you know, something like that. Like, and yet those are the things that we're talking about coming out of this Raw 2 weeks away from WrestleMania. It everyone, you know, like there's a lot of really cool things in here. I enjoyed all the segments from what I saw, but it's kind of odd. It's not your usual WrestleMania build, and maybe they deserve credit for doing that, for avoiding the cookie cutter build like they always do.
Right. No. I mean, it was incredible. I could not believe CM Punk went there. Literally, my jaw dropped. I'm like, what did he just say? You know, and there are not too many people. I mean, he gets all the props in the world for me for being able to do that. I want to believe that he didn't clear it with anybody. He just said it. That's what I want to believe. A Wax Jackson in the chat. What's up, buddy? He's saying that he doesn't understand the Drew McIntyre. You were also one of these people that were solely behind Sasha Banks, calling her the greatest of all freaking time and all that other stuff. A Wax, I'm not going to take your opinion on anything at this point until you get that shit straightened out. Anyway, Shriz, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Yeah, good. I missed their part of the promo because I was fiddling around on Instagram and I missed it. But I remember you hitting me up and going, "Oh my God, this is great!" So, from listening to you guys talk about it, I've heard the promo, but I never knew he had like kind of invoked the save Vince's name type thing, which is like really. It feels like it could have been an impromptu thing, knowing full well Drew's going to be like, "Oh, f me." And because it is good for verbal sparring to get out there and throw a couple of jabs. And the best thing you can always do is stay in line with the truth as much as possible until you need to tell a swerve, you know what I mean? Like, so like when you do that and you get right to the edge and he says, "Oh, who calls you the chosen one?" You're like, "Oh, fuck me. I can't. I'll be fucked sideways if I say Vince's name right now." I wonder if the crowd would have popped if he said, "Well, Vince McMahon, who else?" You know? You know, the guy that,
what paragon of virtue chose you?
It's stiff, fucking stiff. But, you know, that's why, like, when we were saying earlier, like, Punk gets great pops, regardless of being in Chicago or wherever they are. And how Cody, like, when people go, he goes, you know, what do you want to talk about? And people are kind of like, You know, here's the biggest difference between Cody Rhodes and CM Punk is that the biggest difference is authenticity. CM Punk is just who he is when he is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The guy you see on TV is the guy who is at home. Cody Rhodes is not that way. He's overproduced. He's overthought out. He's, you know, like I always say, the three-piece suit thing where people just can't relate to it. The weird haircut, like, looks like a helmet. You know, I just strange use of words. Like, he has the word of the day dictionary where he's got to try to, you know, finagle some sort of weird word into a sentence that doesn't really fit, but he's got to get it in there to show you, "Oh, no, listen, I'm not just a pro wrestler. I'm also very, very smart. And I'm also very well read." And
sorry to interrupt you, Striz, but that's another point that you're absolutely right. And he needs to stop doing it. You don't got to keep reminding people how smart you, like, "Oh, I use big words." I'm like, stop that shit. Like, somebody, like, he literally said this in a promo, "Cause I use big words and I look this way." I forget. This was like last week, somewhere. Yeah. Right. Yep. And I was like, "Oh my God, what are you doing? Don't do that." Like, somebody needs to sit him down and be like, "Listen, use big words if you want. You don't have to remind the people that you're using them." Okay. I mean, if you want to come off that way, fine. But it's asking for a turn. It's asking for the crowd to turn on you. And after he wins this title, I don't know if he'll make it 6 months without half of that crowd turning on him. Anyway, go ahead, Shriz. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Well, I was going to say, obviously, we've heard of one of the greatest promoters in history, P.T. Barnum. One of his greatest lines was, "Speak in a language that your audience understands."
Right.
And when Cody's up there trying to be a babyface doing that, it's kind of, I can understand if a heel like Nick Bockwinkel in AWA, like the early 80s, would he was the champion and Bobby Heenan was his manager and they had tons of heat. And his gimmick was he was the smartest guy in the room and wanted everybody to know it. Like Bobby Heenan would say, "Well, you ask Nick Bockwinkel what time it is, he'll tell you how to build a watch." And in a way, that's kind of like what Cody does. It's like, we want to hear from your heart. We want to hear what's real. We want to hear what's making, well, what is the impetus behind you wanting to be the champion? Not just because your dad didn't get that belt at the Garden, baby, back in 1978. It has to be bigger than that. It has to be a What does that have to do with you? Why do we care about this? Isn't just, you know, I saw Dusty Rhodes' run in WWF when he got back there in the 80s. And it was a, you know, the comedy run at best, and that's what they gave him. And obviously he had way better years before and after that with NWA. But as far as his run in WWF goes, it wasn't like that shining. So, you know, if anybody who's ever watched this for more than 5 minutes will realize that, yeah, Dusty was, you know, only the best when he wasn't in WWF. You know, it makes me hard to get behind the Cody thing, especially when it's like, I want to win it for my dad. I got to complete my story. Is it your story? Is it your dad's story? And why do we care so much about this now at this point? We've seen you. We got behind you. You dropped the ball last year. Literally nothing's changed. We're going into it this year again. And why it's getting, I think, you know, people kind of want to see it just because it'll be the completion of this long circle. But like you said, you know, 6 months out, it's just going to be,
it's like, be all right,
what's next? And well, that's why I think with Punk in the Wings, you know, SummerSlam, possibly the Punk and Cody match for the belt or whatever, Seth, whoever at the time. Speaking of Seth, by the way, when he was in the ring, yeah, his promo with CM Punk was pretty good and he was there. But I can see in Seth's eyes, like, he's reaching that point of exhaustion where WrestleMania, he can see, like, the light at the end of the tunnel. And we're now just, what is it, like, less than 10 days away from Mania. And I think he's just trying to hang on. And you reach a level of exhaustion when you're at this thing where you're just, like, you can't even fake it anymore. And I think he's just at that part where he's just, like, I just got to get through this. And, like, then go ahead and take his vacation. But, you know, I'm looking forward to, I'm sure he'll kill, the match will be awesome, whatever he's in with Drew, they'll kill it. But I'm looking forward to him getting away and recharging the batteries because he definitely needs a little time off.
I agree with you, man. I agree with you. I do think that CM Punk, because I was, you alluded to it a little bit, Striz, but Bell said, you know, he's on another level that he can do certain things in the way he's being treated.
Yeah.
I don't think CM Punk sees that WWE title anytime soon. I think he'll get the world title. I think CM, let's remember how CM
Punk. Right. I think he'll get the world title, yeah.
I think he'll get that, but I don't think he's being treated on the on a way that.
In fact, I'm sorry, let me cut in, but I didn't mean Cody and Punk wouldn't necessarily be at SummerSlam. Drew and Punk, so they can finish their angle. Drew drops the world title to Punk.
To Punk, right.
And what I can picture is next year's Mania, if both guys can keep their heat,
love
title
it.
For title, the unification, Punk versus Cody, and that's our main dope. Event.
That'd be dope. And I don't think they give Punk the satisfaction. If that's the main event at 41, Cody goes over. I don't think they give Punk the satisfaction personally. Could be wrong. But excellent points, Striz, all together, man. Let me address AWACS real quick. So AWACS says I need to read the article. So I'll say this. So what we did was we pulled up a couple of articles on Sasha Banks and on Becky Lynch, and people that want to support Becky Lynch at all costs, right? They were like, oh, Billy didn't read the entire article. I'm not gonna sit there and read an entire article, brother. I'm not gonna do that. And then he's like, oh, he read the entire article on Becky Lynch. No, I didn't. So why don't you go read that article, AWACS? You go read that shit. All right. And then you said something else. Hold on for a second.
Really? What's an article going to tell you about what we obviously know?
Bullshit, why don't you just bring him on the show? Relax.
We'll bring AWACS on the show. We can talk about it. Right. AWACS. And since I brought it up, Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, get out of here, brother. Listen, Sasha Banks couldn't, let's see what she's doing. If she's that great, let's see what she does over in AEW. Let's see all the big numbers, all the big money she's going to draw. Let's see it. Let's see it happen. It's not going to. It's not gonna. That's why the WWE passed on her. The WWE passed on her again. They were like, you know, she's hit her peak. And guess what? They were 100% correct. Like, go give it to Tony Khan. He'll pay a ridiculous amount of money for her, just like he did for Okada, which we also passed up on because we're not gonna give them the money that AEW is gonna give them. So go ahead, go over there. This Sasha Banks shit has gotten way out of hand. Okay, just saying. We'll talk about this in length with the boys. I'll get the boys' opinion. And AWACS, you're more than welcome to come on, even though I totally don't respect your opinion. You're a very sexy individual, and you can come on the show. Okay, what else we got? Do you guys want to see a little bit of this?
I want to get back to Cody real quick before you move on.
All right.
Because I didn't get to drub him enough this week. But yeah, you know, this all circles back to what you were talking about at the beginning of the show is like, so what do you want to talk about? Like, yes, that is literally the best he can do. Like, this is a mid-ass fucking guy who cuts mid-ass promos looking like a fucking C-list game show host. Like, you know what it is, and somebody asked in the chat, like, will he get the John Cena treatment in 2 years? No, he's absolutely not getting the John Cena treatment. You know what he's going to get? He's going to get, like, the Kofi Kingston treatment. Out of the world title picture. No one's even going to complain about it. Like, it's oh yay, he got the title, he deserves the title, poof, gone, done, that's the end of it. No one ever sniffs the title again. No one complains, because we all get it. Like, we just wanted him to get it once and that's it. Now he's got it and he has absolutely nothing to offer us anymore. Story over, close the book, put it on the shelf, and halfway up the, like a mid-card level on the shelf. That's where it belongs.
I will give you guys this. Bell's YouTube, but in particular Striz. Hold on, let me take this off so we can see everybody real quick. Right. And Striz, you know, I was right there with you when Cody was in AEW.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Striz made a very astute point right now that I want everybody to keep in mind. It was the story. And is it Cody's story? Maybe not, right? It's his dad's story, and Cody's riding the coattails. But this is the genius of whomever came up with this story, either Vince McMahon or Triple H, I don't know, right? But they went down there and pitched it to Cody Rhodes when he was in AEW. To come to the WWE, here's the story we have laid out for you. And it made me personally invested in a guy that I wasn't cool. I respected Cody when he left. I was like, this is the right thing to do. And I wanted to like him. And then I started to hate him. I was like, I hate this guy. I can't do it. And they at the WWE made me invest again into this guy. Very little changes. It was the storyline and the presentation of it. And I was like, man, I want to see this unfold. It makes sense to me. It's really cool. Just like the Bloodline storyline kind of brought me back. And I'm like, man, I can enjoy wrestling again. And this is why I take exception to The Rock and everybody in the IWC, YWC saying, oh, now it's finally great. Like, man, it's been good for a little while before The Rock came back. You know, they had already sold out WrestleMania before The Rock came back. You know what I mean? It was pretty good. So when CM Punk came back, I freaking lost it. That was November, you know, and I was like, wow, this is really getting good. Rock wasn't in the picture. Rock kind of fucked this up, and it's kind of come back around to a point where it is entertaining, and that's pretty dope. But I think people are losing. Well, whatever. Do whatever you want. It's fine. It's wrestling. It's entertainment. Want to be entertained? Go ahead and be entertained. I'm entertained by it at the very least. But Striz made a hell of a point. And that's absolutely true. Now, after the chase is over and he wins the WWE title, that's the real test of all of this. And it's incredibly hard for a babyface after the chase to maintain. You know, only a few people have been able to do that. You know, Hulk Hogan for about 3 or 4 years, right? Before the crowd started to turn on him. Striz, you might be better at giving an accurate timeline on this.
Yeah, but it was about 4 years, yeah.
Right, you know, Bret Hart held on to it for some time, and people were behind it, you know. I don't really count Stone Cold because he was kind of a tweener. He was a face, but he did heel shit all the time.
He was a baby face, but he worked aggressively, yeah. But
right.
His money was his chase. He didn't even tell you that.
Right,
his build-up to the title was months and months and months. When he won the title, he dropped it in 3 months to a first blood match with Kane.
Right. Absolutely. So it's really difficult to do. And I'm not going as far as Bello. Bello's saying he's a mid-carder. I don't think he's a great promo, but he's not a bad promo. He can be a good promo from time
to
time.
What do you want
to talk about? I think he cut a solid promo on my...
He's got to work on the delivery. He's just going to be more relatable. And it's just...
I think
behind curtain number three.
I think he cut a solid promo on Monday, right? He's been working on his lisps, right? He's been working on that. It's kind of not as evident as it used to be before.
Because it's a work.
Really?
Is it?
Yes.
Why? How does it work?
Because he wants to be like his daddy.
Get the fuck out of here.
God damn. He has me. He's got me sense. All these years.
That makes sense. I never thought of that once. Wow.
I thought I said that like a couple of months ago now.
Maybe, and it went right over my head and I didn't catch it. But that makes sense. I never thought of that. I thought it was legit and you got something done for it. Regardless of that, he's a decent promo. He's not on the level of a CM Punk. He's not on the far from The Rock. And this is the problem here. Like, I mean, if you're gonna protect The Rock, isn't gonna be in ring. If you're gonna protect this investment that you've made, say, hey, listen, Rock, ease up, dude. Right? Don't put him face to face with one of the greatest freaking promos in the history of the business. It's gonna expose the guy. Right? And this is kind of what's going on here. Not to mention the fact that he gets to curse all the time, right? Not a good look for Cody. Anyway, so you sound like you look like you got something to say, Shrish.
No, I was just reading some comments here.
What are they saying?
They said that you're a fool and you don't know what you're talking about. But I'm going to back you up. Right. No, I agree with everything you're saying.
Fuck you.
The best part about it all is that at the end of the night, we're going to get Cody with the belt, and it's going to be a great moment, and it's going to be one for the record books, and it'll be a great finish. I'm sure people will talk about it for a long time. His run after that is going to be, interesting to say the least, because I don't see, I think once Roman does drop the belt, he's also going to take a long, long break, and he deserves it, and that's fine. But then you're going to have, the Jimmy Usos and the Solo Sikoas, the remnants of what was left of the Bloodline, going into to fill in the months in between now and SummerSlam. And, the obvious wins for Cody, which, whatever. They're not going to be great, but that's what they're going to get. And then they got to get him ready for, whatever the next step is going to be, whether it's Drew or whatever it's going to be. So I'm sure they have a game plan ready, but I just can't see a guy on SmackDown. It's not going to be The Rock, because he's not going to work regularly ever, So I can't see that next big heel. That'll be Cody's, big challenge. And I think is the biggest hole. Well, I guess if you want him to be I'd rather not. Heel
recently, right?
Yeah. What's that, buddy?
Yeah,
AJ's a heel now.
Yeah.
But do you think anybody would buy that AJ would be a challenger for the belt at this point or no?
No. I think Striz is right. I think Randy Orton is the obvious choice because of their history.
Yeah.
And people buy him and love Randy Orton, and people would believe that Randy Orton can get another title run off of him.
The thing is I think that if they were to do that, they would be risking people cheering Randy and not cheering Cody. Well,
that's going to be the thing now, right? That's going to be the thing now. Now it's who.
And that's why they need to develop a big, big heel, which they should have been having this whole time. And maybe they have something in the works that we don't know.
They got him.
It's going to be a big swerve, but
they got Gunther. CM Punk when he comes back, I don't know. They can line up. They can create. They have a big, a lot of talent to choose from, that they can. I know they haven't created a monster heel, but they got a lot of talent to choose from, I think. All right, let's take a look at this for a little bit. And later on, we got some exclusive video. Next level freaking gumshoe video. 8-Track Brown. I don't agree with his take on Sasha Banks either, but. You send him out to get a job done, you better believe he's going to get it done. And he got me some footage from inside the ring of what The Rock actually whispered to Cody Rhodes. So stay tuned for that, because we got it. We got it right here on WLR. We're going to break it first, the 11-11 boys. But let's look at this. Let's look at this promo real quick. Not all of it, of course. But AWAX Jackson is going to be pissed because I'm not playing all of it. He's like, why didn't you play the entire promo? What's going on with you? Hold on. Give me a second. Let's see what I want to do here.
I'm Roman's way back down the mountain. We're going to see each other pretty soon. Oh. Another guy that likes to talk about me is Seth Rollins.
He addressed everyone. All of them. He's setting up his return and all his opponents.
Oh.
What's up, buddy?
No, I was going to say real quick, because I hope we don't actually listen to the Seth Rollins part of this, but his comeback is like, I don't think about you at all. And it's like, when we all know that's a fucking lie, all this guy does is run his mouth about CM Punk in promos, in fucking interviews, and fucking like, it's like Beyonce's obsession with Taylor Swift levels of uncomfortable. Like, it's really bad. Oh, I'm sorry. That's just my headcanon. No one else knows about that. Never mind.
Give him a little bit of props, bro. He's been getting shitted on this entire time, man. And he came out strong. I thought he came out strong. We even do a hell of a job at shitting on Seth Rollins. I thought he did a good job here, man. Hold on for a second. Let me fast forward here. I want to get Drew McIntyre's entrance real quick, because that was pretty funny. He said, shut off the music. Nobody wants to hear that shit. And it's true. Hold on for a second.
Song.
Fucking great.
Turn the stupid song off. Nobody wants to listen to that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
He got the whole crowd, but I mean, he Chicago, but this would have gotten over anywhere he was. That was fantastic, you know. And then he made fun of his sword. You know, he come out with a stupid sword. It was funny.
I ain't medically clear, but I'm not looking to have a wrestling match. Why don't you get your in here?
And he called him a bitch ass. Damn, listen to that, man. Jesus Christ. This guy could run for president in Chicago and win. Like, everybody would vote for him.
Yeah, but then he'd be president of Chicago.
Yes.
I would love to get to that ring right now and beat your arse, but Punk, don't you remember what happened last time we were in the ring together?
Of course. Then it's interrupted by
subscribe to Max.
The Max sponsor. They're not paying us, but you know, there's some good stuff on Max. Go over to Max, go sign up, especially if you got an extra $16 to spend. Actually, once you go to Max and you're disappointed by them, give it to us, WLR. We provide entertainment for you every week, and we do it for free. Here we go. CM Punk is back. Hold on.
Arm of yours, because you deserved it, and I told you I prayed for this, and it happened.
Hey, hey, hey. Are you a Scottish psychopath in a kilt? Are you an internet troll in a skirt? Let's find out.
This is 2024. You want to get canceled for talk like that?
I love that. I love that. You see, he's like, this is 2024. You want to get canceled for talk like that, motherfucker? Like, straight up. Like, that was real, you know? And that was off cuff. And he's right. Like, what are you doing? What are you trying to say? You know? And then he had to remind him several times.
PG, brother.
What's up, buddy?
He had to tell him, PG, brother.
Right. He had to remind him twice, two more times on top of that. You know, do you think these guys really hate each other? Probably not, right? Like, they're cool.
But it's also still competition in that kind of regard, right. Though. Right. Nobody wants to be the guy that ends up with the fucking shit into the stick of a promo.
Right. Even though, I mean, a lot of people come. I don't think, let me say this controversial take here, but I don't think Kevin Owens can stand up to CM Punk. I don't think so. And I don't think it's close. Let's put it that way. Kevin Owens is good, but I don't think it's CM Punk.
No. Tonight's perfect. I could have prayed for this. You're in the ring injured, Punk. We're less than 2 weeks to Mania. We're in Chicago. Drew McIntyre is in the world title match. This is divine intervention. That's what this is. You want to know the most ironic thing about you, Punk? The straight edge thing. You never drink, you never do drugs, yet you spend all your time in rehab.
Now, he thought about that one, but that was pretty good. And then he took
bars.
And then he took the pipe bomb pose on the table, too, which is pretty dope. He was like, yeah, it's good, you know.
All right. I can see in your eyes you don't like me too much, and you think I hate you like Seth Rollins. And maybe at one time I hated you, and maybe there's issues that need resolved, but no, as of right now. Possibly win that thing. I think about CM Punk and I get the job done. No, you want to be at WrestleMania bad, real bad.
Did we miss it? Or this is it?
I want you there. I want you to have a front row seat at WrestleMania, because you honestly believe you should be in my position. but you shouldn't. And everybody's finally starting to realize what I've known all along, that Drew McIntyre has always been the chosen one.
Chosen one? Who chose you? Who? What was his name? You got the balls to say you're the chosen one? Tell me, what paragon of good virtue chose you? It wasn't the people in Chicago.
Yeah, because they're a paragon of virtue. Never mind.
He didn't know what to say, but he came back with something strong now that I think of it. But he's sitting there like, man, that was good. But watch.
People in San Antonio, when we went off the air on Monday Night Raw, and they were saying, CM Punk. Punk, please.
Check this.
Keep going. Get it in while you can, because you're going to be out for months still. This is your moment. This is exciting. I feel like a fan sitting here. But anyway, if you want to be part of the show, maybe, since I'm on the commentary desk of an idea, I want you to have a front row.
Well, this
seat.
Isn't it,
you're
but it's coming.
You're good at talking, running that mouth of yours. So why don't you maybe be the guest commentator for the world title match and have to watch Drew McIntyre finally have his moment and raise that world heavyweight championship with live fans in a stadium.
Oh, I like that, Cole.
Yo, I think I passed it, but at one point, Drew McIntyre was like, or CM Punk tells him to get in the ring, and he's like, I'm not getting in there because people in Chicago, you probably got a weapon like everybody else in Chicago. That was really, really good. And that was off top, you know, but I thought that was it. Let me play a little bit of Seth coming out here and getting a hell of a reaction to it.
Ooh.
It made me feel good to watch, man, because, you know, even with the God in the ring, right, with the Chicago God, the Second City Saint, everybody else got their shine, and Chicago acknowledged that, you know, they didn't shit on him. Just like, no, that's pretty good. So we're going with that too. We're still supporting our dude, but you guys are doing your thing, and it's good. It was just an amazing segment. Best segment of the year by far. And that's not saying much, but it's been, I think, the best thing in Monday Night Raw for a long, long time. Personally, let's go around the horn before we go to The Rock. What's up, Bells?
Yeah, no, I just thought this was masterful all around. I kind of appreciate the fact that everyone shined. I think, you know, Seth at this point coming out, it's just kind of like it was one of those like, all right, cool, like another guy to this party. Like, these two dudes are killing it. Let's see what Seth's got cooking. I mean, it's not much, but they ate it up apparently for some reason. I get it, man. Like, he's a revolutionary, blah blah blah. He's it's Monday Night Rollins, which it's like he's been saying for 10 years and was like maybe true for three of them. And you know, it's just I don't get it, but hey, to each their own, I suppose.
What's
this? Is like this is the three-way dance. This is like the Kendrick, Drake, and Cole of Monday Night Raw right now.
Big three, fuck that. It's just big me. It's just the anyway. Big. What's up, Strays? Go ahead.
Yeah, it was a great segment. Everybody sharpening their swords, getting ready for Mania, and getting out there and getting some heat, which is great because they all did it without any physicality. And they're just great promos. Even yes, I thought Seth's promo was actually pretty good. And you know, Punk and Drew look like they have real, real heat, which is great. When they end up having their matches, they look cool. The funny thing is that, like, with Drew, when he's in the ring with Seth, they look like, you know, although Drew is much bigger than Seth, Seth still looks like he can handle his own. But with Punk, the size difference is definitely going to be noticeable. But, you know, people are willing to kind of be a little bit forgiving about that nowadays. But if this was like in the 80s and they had these two guys in the ring together, it'd be like, holy crap, like Drew would have beat him in 90 seconds, you know what I mean?
Right.
Finisher, 1-2-3, and that would have been it. But you know wrestling's evolved, I guess you could say. So, you know, even though the dynamics and physicality wise is you know, it's very noticeable to a guy like me, like an old timer or whatever. You know, it's kind of cool that Punk doesn't have to be all soft stuff to kind of get a good run, which is good, especially a dude in his mid-40s, because you don't want to see him even get in even more injured, you know, because it's kind of stuff where you tear your bicep and you're gone. That's just it. I remember, like, excuse me, when Rick Martel went to WCW, and they're trying to push him as this up-and-coming youngster who had already been working 25 or 30 years at that point. And he was working a match. I want to say it was with Johnny B. Badden. Martel tore his quad or his hamstring or something like that. It was like his second match at WCW as they're like just getting signed. And he's like, oh, he said he knew as soon as he felt it. He's like, oh, that's it. Because of all those years, you know, being on the gas or whatever, right. You know, they just kind of caught up with him. But, you know, we're at a different point now where you guys just don't really need that stuff. I mean, I always think it looks better, like on the marquee when the dude is jacked or whatever. But, you know, I guess for the most part, I just wanted to ask you guys, does it matter to you when you see a dude like Punk versus Drew? Does it play in your head at all? Like, oh, well, Punk's like, just got like that 40-year-old dad bod versus a guy who's like 6'5 and jacked to the gills, you know? Does it affect you at all in your psyche, or have you gone past that?
It didn't before. It didn't before. I was all for the in-ring. I just wanted to see the in-ring, right? The storyline didn't really, and to a degree, storyline doesn't matter, in particular in Japan. Like, I used to watch Kenta matches just to watch Kenta take somebody's head off. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if there was storyline behind it or not. Kenta versus Kojima, they fought 3 times, bro. And I was like, oh, maybe more than that. But what I got to see on television, I mean, here on YouTube, and I wanted to follow it just to see these guys destroy each other, right? So, but they were both comparable guys. You know, they were on this roughly the same height and weight. You know, when you see somebody like Drew, I didn't think Gunther should have beat him the way he did. It didn't make any sense to me. I was like, they just folded him up like that. Like, you know, or it's like they're not taking advantage of what they have, you know? So when I see something, and it gets me even with Daniel Bryan, and I think he does it, Bryan Danielson, I think he does it better than anyone, being a little guy and coming back, right, and making it believable. Because he's such a little guy, he'll get his ass whooped.
And then they're always telling a story about his training.
Right.
You can kind of understand a little bit, but they never mention things like training when it comes to Punk.
No, they don't.
Or the other guys, but with Daniel Bryan, it's kind of built into the sauce kind of thing.
So I get it. And so it does, it does play into it, but you suspend your disbelief to the point you're going to suspend your disbelief. Like, I want to see the match because of what they've generated around it. You know, so I'm like, all right, I'm interested. When they're standing next to each other, I'm about to play a clip of The Rock and Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes looks like a hobbit compared to The Rock. It's incredible. Cody Rhodes is not a small guy. You look at The Rock and it's like, my Lord. And The Rock was small compared to some of the dudes in the Attitude Era. All right. I mean, of course, The Rock is like jacked to the gills now with the steroids, you know, which we don't condone here.
Allegedly.
Right, allegedly, and all that. Take that. We don't condone it here in the 1111 studios. But my God, wait till you see this, you know. So, or when Cody was fighting Brock Lesnar, like, I mean, really, how you gonna believe that, right? In a controlled match. If it was a street fight, it's different, right? Because they talk about, he's a big guy, he doesn't stand a chance. It's a street fight, you stand a chance. You get the eyes, you get the balls, you pick up a cinder block. You know, all that, right? You got a shot.
It's a Billy Ray's Three Moves of Doom for anybody out there.
Hell fucking yeah. Okay. Keep that in mind. Anyway, but no, for real, like, in a controlled, like, situation, like it's supposed to be in the ring. Come on, you're gonna die. It bothers me to a degree, Striz, but right now, what about wrestling isn't revealed, right? There's no kayfabe really.
Well, yeah, but I mean, to the casual fan, when they walk by and they see the marquee, and they see a picture of Brock Lesnar.
Understood.
He's got a sword tattooed on his chest, and the dude is obviously, you know, some sort of weird beast/human hybrid.
Understood.
And then you see a guy like CM Punk who stands there, and he's got the tape, and he's got, you know, nothing special physically. You know, does that make a difference to the person who's walking by who you know, if you're trying to get some casual eyes on this, we'll get like people looking and go, oh, Jesus, look at this kid.
Right.
You know, what is this, you know, gas station attendant, meth head kind of guy fucking gonna wrestle some fucking beast from another planet, you know?
Strays, let me get you, I mean, Bells, let me get your comments on that. And then we're going to go over to Ricochet and Will Ospreay. That's somebody, it was Jim Harper asked about that. So I want to go around that. And then we're going to get that freaking exclusive that we have for all of you, for all the sexy people on The Rock and Cody Rhodes. What's up, Bells?
Yeah, I mean, as far as like a marquee goes, in, you know, obviously I think it's better to have like just like bigger, you know, buffer, more fucking, you know, larger than life type, you know, figures, I guess, if it were. But I guess that's not really how, you know, things are marketed anymore, right? Like, I mean, even like they just put a little clip out on YouTube or whatever, but they, you know, they polish it up, they expand, they make everybody look like a little bit more ripped. There's filters and stuff on all of these like promotional, you know, little tags that they send out there and that kind of thing. But as far as like within the story goes, like, yeah, I mean, if you're going to give me CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre, like if I didn't know anything about the two guys, I saw them and I was like, oh, who's going to win in a fight? Like, yeah, Drew McIntyre should fucking steamroll this guy, right? But you got to give me something within the story, a technical proficiency, you know, like an absurd and, you know, toughness that comes with a long track record of unachievable, you know, suffering that you've withstand or whatever the case may be, like that. Like Daniel Bryan was always technically proficient. Rey Mysterio's like Lucha Libre style he had just mastered it to the point to where he could take down even a Brock Lesnar at points, like whatever it was. But there's yeah, you know, I mean, you've got to build that up over a long period of time, I think. And that's why ultimately, you know, as if I'm like a promoter, you see a bigger guy, like I think these guys get longer leashes sometimes because there's just like, you can't teach tall. So, you know, ultimately you want these massive guys around. And if you can make them into like what Drew has finally made himself into, you might have, you know, a lot of fucking money on your hands. But it took a long time to drag Drew McIntyre up to this level on the microphone. Yeah. And
understand.
And he's, you know, now that he's finally there, there's a bajillion guys half Drew size that never got this many chances.
right.
And, you know, and good it point. Is what it is, unfortunately, for them.
But Roman Reigns.
That's because they didn't do a good enough job of building their character and establishing that they're crafty or they're, you know, tougher than, or they're, you know, faster than, or whatever it might be that gives the smaller guy an advantage over a bigger opponent.
I think Roman Reigns has gotten pretty good. It's 11-11, boys, just saying.
Hey,
what's up, what's up, what's up? Make a wish. I think Roman Reigns has gotten pretty good. He was awful on the mic, and he wouldn't have gotten any of the chances that he got if he wasn't Roman Reigns. And I think he's pretty good now. He's pretty natural. Good delivery, in my opinion. All right, so let's talk about this, and then we got to show you The Rock and Cody Rhodes. We're still going to get to that. Let's talk about Will Ospreay and Ricochet. I was a big Ricochet fan. I followed him in Dragon Gate. I saw him in Dragon Gate USA like three times, I think. I stood right next to the guy. He's not tall at all. I saw him with Rick Swann, the Inner City Machine Guns, against the Young Bucks. And I was a huge fan of the Bucks. I can't do it anymore. But I was a huge fan of the Bucks back then. Well, I mean, what an amazing match it was. Huge fan of Ricochet. Huge fan of Will Ospreay in the beginning. I'm still a huge fan of Will Ospreay. Ricochet is fantastic. He's in phenomenal shape. He is incredible what he can do in the ring. His promo skills are awful. And we used to have a thing here in WLR. Ricochet is okay. What is it? Ricochet
hashtag
is all right.
Ricochet is fine.
Yeah. Hashtag Ricochet is fine, because Bells and I used to go back and forth. I'm like, this guy is going to, it's gonna be awful. I'll give you this. I mean, I was right. But I'll give you this.
You are.
He's still around, you know, and
you know what? And he's, not Ricochet. He's with Samantha Irvin. He's fine. Hashtag Ricochet is fine.
He could have done it. You know, she's not bad. Whatever. But yes, I mean, ultimately in life, he's won. He's fine. He's making tons of money, you know, and he's cut up like nobody's business, you know. So he's doing his thing. And
he's fingering his asshole on the internet. He's living the dream.
Right. They are building him for something. He's winning. He's beating up the Judgment Day left and right. But Colin I left it up. Colin says Ospreay is probably AEW's real biggest star. And I totally believe that if they're going to do something with anyone in that company, it needs to be that guy. Who's better? In my opinion, I think Ospreay's better. Ospreay is incredible in the ring. He needs to stop doing some of the shit he's doing, right? If I was Tony Khan, I'd have told him, listen, first match out the gate in AEW, some dude takes you to the limit. Nah, we're not doing that. And you're not doing 8 million things in the ring. Let's save some of this shit. You're fantastic without having to do all of this. I think he's incredible. He's a pretty decent promo. He's not bad. He can get better. He has a presence about him. If you went to the WWE, they'd have done something with the guy. Let's see what he gets to do in AEW. But I think you're right. If Tony Khan is smart, he'd be the guy that he chooses to carry the banner into wherever they're going to go. It should be Will Ospreay. I think he's better than Ricochet. Bells than Striz. What's up, Bells?
Yeah, I'll keep this pretty short and sweet. I mean, I think I personally prefer Ricochet's in-ring work just from the little bit I've watched of the two of them over. I guess over time, I've watched probably a fair amount of both of them. I mean, I'll take Ricochet's work as Prince Puma pretty much over anything that either one of them has ever done over the course of their career. But there is some speculation that John Cena was in fact Prince Puma. So I guess I can't necessarily attribute that to Ricochet, but that's neither here nor there at the moment. I'd say though, objectively speaking, you can kind of, you know, call it 50-50 as far as their in-ring work goes. And Ospreay's promo work, while I think is mildly overrated, on the internet, you know, on the interwebs, as it may be, I think they're so much better than Ricochet's. It's really no contest here. I'll give the nod to Ospreay.
That's 2-0 so far. Striz, what do you say? What say you? The deciding, and quite frankly, Striz's opinion is at least as valuable or more so than both of our opinions put together. So Striz might be the deciding vote here. Either way, either he sides with us or Ricochet wins. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
It's a clean sweep, baby.
There you go. Go ahead. Give us a little bit on it before we move forward.
They have some similarities, but I think long-term, I think Will Ospreay has a brighter future ahead of him. And just, you know, I think he's in the right place for right now. And I think they're going to make him a top guy. He'll probably be the dude that takes the belt off of Joe, maybe not right away, but I think that's probably what the plan's going to be. The crowd reacts to him as a baby face. I don't think it was a good idea to bring him in as a heel with Callis. They should have just made him a baby, just like they should have done with Okada. But they don't know what they're doing in AEW when it comes to booking people. And that's just been historic. And, you know, they figured it out, but it took them a little, you know, a couple while. You know, the good thing is that he's being kind of booked as a baby face now, whereas before, like, If Tony Khan wanted him to be a heel, mm-hmm. and he was getting a babyface reaction, he'd still continue to be a heel. Now I think when the crowd is ready to get behind somebody and be a babyface, it's so hard to get a babyface over that you gotta, this wasn't the plan, but we're gonna go with it because, you know, this guy can get over. Let's let him get over. You know, so Ricochet, you know, his best years in the wrestling ring are probably behind him at this point. The reason why his Puma stuff was so great is because it had, you know, 10 less years of bumps and bruises added on top of his bump card by now. I loved him as Puma. And he was like one of the only reasons I watched Lucha Underground. And I really was looking forward to seeing him be more in WWE, but, you know, making stupid decisions and putting shit out on the net that doesn't need to be out on the net can kill a motherfucker. And, you know, if he wasn't going out with Samantha Irvin or Ryan, however you say her name, he'd probably be on the short list for the chopping block after WrestleMania or whenever. Because it's not like he can't live without Ricochet. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I do think though that if he were to leave WWE, I do think it'd be a good pickup for AEW because his style is much more conducive to the AEW audience. And I think he could have a nice little regeneration of his career there. And I think people would enjoy watching him. He's probably got a good another 5 years left before he's going to change his style. Right. Maybe 2 to 5 years left anyway. But, he's kind of one of those guys who I don't see changing. He'll do it till he can't do it anymore, and then he just won't do it.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. And if it goes over to AEW, we'll get a rematch with Ospreay. It'd be dope, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I never saw that match from beginning to end. I saw the clips, and it was just so silly.
I love it. I get it, Chris.
Like that. I get it. It's just so much gaga, but I mean, that's just one of the things of wrestling is they were the high flyers who did a lot. It was just too mirroring and too, you know, there's just no simple way that could ever be looked at as a contest. And you know, the crux of wrestling is, at the end of the day, you got to try to make it at least look like some sort of a struggle. Yeah, and there was absolutely nothing going on there that looked like a struggle. It just looked like Dancing with the Stars.
They could have done a lot
of those things, but placed in different orders in a different situation with heat added to it could have meant a lot more, but they didn't want to do that. It was just a big pissing contest between the two of them. So they could have done better business with that. But I mean, it did what it was intended to do and got a lot of people to talk and a lot of people watched it, but it didn't make a single person ever believe that for even a split second that it was a contest.
People who were invested and wanted to see it loved it, right? And I wanted to see it for the longest. So I loved it when I saw it. I was like, oh my God, right? But totally understand where you're coming from with that. Okay. So there you go.
Like, wrestling can be weird and wild and fanatical, but you got to try to base some of it, like, with not necessarily a reality base, whatever, but you have to make at least somebody think that there's some sort of credibility going on
here. I like reality based. I think that's the best way to go. I think that's the way to get the most money out of the product, to be honest with you. It needs to be reality based, less hokey. You know,
in reality, this green shirt we're looking at here, the guy on the right would be fetching the guy on the left's car.
Right. That's true.
All right. Let's look at this. This is exclusive for the 11-11 boys, for the 11-11 audience, exclusive of what was said. You know, people all over the internet are saying that he said, I'm going to make you bleed. You know, JD from New York said, I'm going to make you bleed. The Solid Monster said, I'm going to make you bleed. You know, Dave Meltzer, I'm going to make you bleed. They're all wrong. All of them. It's not what he said. He didn't say that shit. We have it here, exclusive for all of you sexy people. Pay attention.
Gesture.
You dance very nice, like Geisha.
You see how pissed off Cody is?
I don't dance like a geisha.
How many times? I mean, and I mean, I don't know what the hell
mid promos.
How many times does he have to tell him that he dances very nice like Geisha? I mean, this is insulting at this point. You know what the hell is going on here? But there you have it. We have mics all over just in case something like this goes down, and then the dirt sheets report some bullshit. We got it here first. Bells, what do you think? He dances very nice like Geisha. Again, blatant disrespect.
Know your role and dance like Geisha Jabroni.
Very cool.
One.
I got one more. There was an alternative take to this. Some people said that they were talking about our truth in the ring, and actually, you know what? I'll save that one. I'll play that shit for you guys off the air.
I want to know.
I'm not gonna do it. I'll play it. I'll play it for you guys off the air. I was gonna play it here, but you know what? The diversity and inclusion department of 11-11 Studios will not allow it. Anyway, go ahead. What's up? What were you gonna say?
Now, a couple other things that he could have actually said to him is one of them is like, let's make this good. Like, let's make this look good because this is all a work within a work shoot, I suppose, now at this point. I don't even know how this all works. For the conspiracy theorists out there that for some reason I've got wrestling stuff, I've got conspiracy stuff, and now I've got wrestling conspiracy stuff has now somehow hit my algorithm on YouTube. So the Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins bloodline conspiracy theories are out there. This will feed into it. And maybe perhaps instead of saying I'm gonna make you bleed, he leaned in and said red makes green.
Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Were we taking?
Are we getting
down?
Another update?
I don't know if we were taken down.
Is Cody Rhodes still?
Yeah, I think we got a strike or something.
Let me see.
Policy violation.
Maybe.
How do you know? How do you see
the
these
people
things?
In the chat? Were
in the chat.
What the hell did we do? Dance very nice, like Geisha.
It's playing all this goddamn.
Well, we're still recording.
Yeah. TKO, right. TKO Holdings doing their thing.
Tell the people where they can find you, Bells.
You could find me on the X. That's right. We know y'all can't see it, but we're doing it anyway. At the Andrew Bello. That's T H to the E A N to the D R E W B E L L O. And YouTube, check me out there as well. More songs coming. My Vultures 1.1 album on its way in increments. So keep that out. Keep an eye out for that. Or an ear out, as it were.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yo, Bells, I'll catch a punk ass down the road. Cheers. Tell them what's up.
Yo, follow me at @StranglerSteve_ and I like big kitties.
Apparently, we're on the air again. This is weird.
We're back.
This is weird.
And we're better than ever.
What the hell is going on here? What the hell is going on with YouTube? We're moving. We're moving 11/11 studios over to freeworld.fm at this point. Fuck that. At least we won't get fucked with. You know, until they decide to fuck with that. Good Lord. It's all fair use. We're not making any money off of this. I'm sitting here and giving analysis about the stuff that they are putting out. So I don't understand what is going on. But anyway, we're here. And but we're leaving now. We're not sticking around. I'm glad that you guys get to see the ending of this. Striz, tell them what's up.
All right. Follow me on the X.
The X.
At @StranglerSteve_. And next week will be like a couple days, 2 or 3 days before I leave for Mania. So I'll give you the breakdown on how everything's going with the pre-trip. And I'll tweet while I'm at Mania and everything while I'm there. And I like big kitties.
Fantastic.
Noted. Fantastic.
My name is BRV. We're getting up out of here. Boys, hang out. I got to show you what The Rock actually said. And that's it. That's it. All right. Take it easy now. We'll see you guys on the road to WrestleMania. Merry Easter. Bye. Striz likes big titties.
I like big titties.
Merry Easter. Fuck it.